Now, Lord, this is our last night on this trip. It's important, Lord, that you tie up any loose ends where I may have failed you. Because, Lord, we want them to have a package complete that'll take them to a new level. New level, new walk with you, new level of fellowship with you, new tools and fresh methods, Lord, to where they can grow faster because the need is great. Every day, Lord, people are dying and going to hell. Lord, we need to walk in all the fullness that we can of everything you've given us. Father, I make special intercession for this service. Lord, help me set my mind completely aside and just watch what you're doing through me. Lord, I pray again that you bring the mind of Christ to me. Make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer, that I can speak forth that mind with simplicity and clarity, that we understand what you want. And Father, I thank you for anointing the hearers here with their ears with hearsay. Lord, even now remove the distractions of the day and the hustle and bustle of the world. Bring calmness to our spirit, all of us, that we can hear what you're saying to us, because it is truly the salvation of the earth. Father, we thank you and praise you for all these things. Thank you for your tender, precious spirit. Thank you for Candace, Father. That's what it's all about. Father, I pray that when she enters heaven, she brings a mighty harvest with her. And in the name of Jesus, we thank you for all of these things. And all the people said,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, there's so many things. Being a teacher, you know. Now, what happens as you continue to pray in the Holy Ghost and do everything that we've talked about this week? Use all these tools. How to meditate the Word. Did y'all learn anything from that?
Amen.
Confession of the Word and praying in other tongues. You're going to find you're rapidly going to start growing to new levels. Okay? And rapidly you're going to become more like me and Marvin. That's why preachers get so long-winded. See, at first you're going, you know, everybody's a little timid and a little afraid when you first start doing this, you know, and oh, God, I don't even know what to say. I hope I can make it 15 minutes. And now I'm going, I need a month. Your problem becomes not what to say. You have to really back off and listen just to the Holy, you know, try to do your best just to listen to the Holy Spirit so you deliver what's needful in the time allotted. Amen?
Amen.
There's so many things we haven't even touched on. I thought one of the tools that we have, and I get, yes, go ahead and be turning to Mark 16. Let me read it before we go any further. And while you're even turning there, by now you surely got it memorized. But the commission, these are the final words. This is the last words of Jesus Christ to his hand-trained disciples that he'd been teaching for 3.5 years. Now think if it had been you. You've been traveling with Jesus. You've broken bread with Jesus. You've watched him. You said, wouldn't you be watching as he cast out devils? Wouldn't you be watching, you know, as he prayed for the sick and crippled that crippled man with the withered hand, you know? Boy, I couldn't help but think of joy. You know? Jesus says, stretch forth thine hand. Slap, crackle, pop, you know. That hand's growing. Won't that be a day? That day's coming. Wouldn't you have been watching Jesus? If you'd have been traveling with him, heard the tone of his voice. Voice of many waters, you know. Boy, I mean, that's something else. And now, you've been traveling and learning and watching. He's hand trained you. See? Now, it's time for him to go back to heaven, and he's turning the commission really over to you. What trust? What trust? See, religion tries to browbeat the people, make them think they're slimy dog worms, and God's trying, you know, just better watch your step. He's just waiting for a chance to bop you over the head. You must be kidding. From his point of view, you are the hope of the world.
Hallelujah.
He's praying we all get enough of Jesus manifested in us. With that same life that flowed through him now flows through us. That's the whole thing. Now, he gives his final commission to these men. Mark 16, starting in verse 15. And he said unto them who? These men, these people that he's been training for 3.5 years. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Them who? What? Well, them that heard these guys preach the gospel. Believed what? Believed what they were heard. Believed what they heard. Believed the gospel. So, the mindset of the church at large today, amongst believers, is Well, if I want anything supernatural to happen, I need to get to fivefold ministry to pray. If I've got a friend that's got a devil, I need to find someone with a deliverance ministry. And you know, most people's thinking is, well, I'm powerless and I'm just a little toe in the body of Christ. I mean, God wouldn't use me, you know. So the idea is to take them somewhere to the fivefold. But that's not the gospel that Jesus told these men to go preach. Now look what he said to them. Verse 17, these signs shall follow them that believe. He's not talking to the fivefold now. He's commissioning the fivefold to go out and make believers. That's you-ins. That's us-ins. All right? These signs shall follow them that believe. Are you believers?
Yes.
In my name shall they cast out devils.
Yes.
I say it again. No, you don't need to go find a deliverance ministry.
That's what teachers do.
You are a deliverance ministry. If you're a believer, you are, according to Jesus Christ, the head of the church. You have authority over all devils. Glory to God. In my name they'll cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Now, I say again, you don't have to ever speak in other tongues to go to heaven. The blood is enough. God's goodwill is just get saved, go to heaven. Like, you know. But when the head of the church says this is what I call normal for believers, why wouldn't you want to speak in other tongues?
Amen.
I mean, it's a gift from heaven. It's a revelation gift. It's where the Holy Spirit comes and becomes your teacher. And like we read in 1 Corinthians 14:2, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. I get tired of talking to you guys. I mean, I like you guys fine. I like Nick, but there's times I want to go talk to God. Well, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. I like having a hotline to God.
Amen.
I like being able to pray beyond my intellect. I mean, you know, I could pick anyone in here, just a little child. I could start praying for her, and I know certain things. It is God's will for her. And I could pray in English, you know. But about 5 minutes, if I'm praying in English, I'm going to run out of things to say. I don't know what her future is or what God's perfect plan for her life in detail is. But I know someone who does. It's the Holy Ghost, isn't it? And I say, now, Lord, I'm just going to turn my spirit and yield to your Holy Spirit and let him pray his perfect wisdom, which is according to your perfect plan for a life. Boy, you just no telling what all kind of things you're praying in tongues there. And I like what Billy said through that exhortation. Another reason for speaking in other tongues, it says, when you're doing that in the spirit, you're giving thanks well. I mean, I start my private worship time, now, not where we have music, not where you have a song, and just out of your own temple, your own spirit, your own new nature. You start, oh, Father, I love you. I worship you, Father. I praise you, Lord. I love you. I thank God for the day that I heard your gospel. Oh, I praise you. Thank God I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to hell. Oh, I get to be with you, Jesus, forever. And after a little while, something just rises up that's beyond my intellect. And I can't keep from doing it. I mean, just after a while, my spirit says, so, step aside, we'll take it from here. And it just starts coming out. And the Bible says, when that happens, I am giving thanks well.
Amen.
Isn't that good stuff? Glory to God. So believers, what Jesus calls normal, is to speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And again, that doesn't mean start a little church in the mountains somewhere bringing a box of rattlesnakes to prove your faith. No, you take the Bible pattern, which is like what happened with Paul when they were shipwrecked on that island. They built a campfire. And a poisonous viper, could jump out, but come out and bit him on the hand. For the natives knew that normally, if that viper bites you, you're going to die. Poisonous. Because they said, well, that man Paul there, that guy, somehow he survived the storm, but he must be a murderer. God's not going to allow him to live because that snake bites you, you're going to die. And Paul, though, he knew what had happened in him. He just shook that thing off in the fire. And they're watching him, waiting for him to blow, swell up, keel over and die, and nothing ever happens. Do you think that might have made them a little more receptive to the gospel?
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's what he's talking about. And then secondly, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Well, you're going to find opposition. I mean, I've just been reading in the paper. Our pastor just got back from 3 weeks in India. And while he was there, there were several attacks by the Hindus on Christians and Christian churches over there. And, you know, it's not in one service. A year ago, he was over there and somebody planted a bomb. And we have an intercessor, our head intercessor at the church, picked it up in the spirit. Her name's Daisy Black. And she handled that thing in the spirit. Dave never found out about it till after he was back in the States. But that bomb, they found it, defused it, and then didn't have any problem. Well, what he's saying here, just that's typical of what he's saying. You're going to have people that hate you. Hindus, Muslims, certain Christians. Well, you know, a lot of them. I asked Billy last night after I taught on Luke 6:38. How many of y'all was here last night?
Hey, man, that was...
You found out it wasn't about a church offering, didn't you?
That's right.
After the service, I said, Billy, you think that message is going to get me invited to a lot of churches? He says, I think it'll get a lot of songbooks thrown at you. Well, they may get so mad at you that they'd actually try and poison you, slip some poison in your food. And this is the guarantee of Jesus Christ, the head of the church. He says, even if you drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt you. We're supernatural people. We're from another world. We've got to learn how to cooperate and operate from that realm. We are in this world, but we are not of it. This is the head of the church talking, who cannot lie. This is normal. And then I really like this last one. Really like this last one. Believers. Just normal, not fivefold. Believers shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Glory to God. Let's just stop and praise Him just for that right there. Hallelujah. Jesus. That's the gospel. That's the truth. Heaven and earth will pass away. Your words will never pass away. That's what you call normal church. Normal believers. We shall walk in that, Lord. We shall walk in the truth. Like John said, He has no greater pleasure but that His disciples, His children, walk in truth. We will walk in truth. Hallelujah. We will not change it. We won't water it down. It's Your gospel, Jesus. Hallelujah. So we've been talking this week. Now, how do we go from where we are to there? All right, now we've done several things. We talked about the vision the first night. We talked about the trap, which is basically falling into just works, what man can do. You know, midnight basketball. Swimming pools for the youth, door knocking campaigns, and there's nothing wrong with any of those things as long as you don't substitute that for the power of God.
Amen.
None of those things are ever going to heal the sick. None of those things are ever going to raise anybody from the dead. None of those things are ever going to get devils cast out. You with me? Now, He may use you to do all those things, but they'll never be instead of this. That's the great trap. Substituting what man can do for what only God can do.
Amen.
See, really, you can't get anybody saved. Candace tonight, now, we did a lot of things to help. You know, Marvin led her in the prayer and all of that. But see, really what happened? The Holy Spirit. We couldn't see it. But the Holy Spirit went inside of Candace. And that spirit that she was born with from Adam, He literally recreated that spirit.
Lord. Amen.
And she passed from death to life.
Hallelujah.
She's no longer a children of the earth, a child of the earth. She's a citizen of heaven.
Amen.
Only the Holy Spirit can do that. That's why you can't join a church and be saved. You can't say those words and not mean it and be saved. Because it takes faith from your heart. And she believes. That was real.
It,
faith from your heart. But with that, the Holy Spirit goes in and He does what no one else can. And He literally brings a spirit from death to life. We saw a resurrection in the Spirit tonight.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Glory.
Isn't that good stuff?
Amen.
Now you don't want to ever substitute membership roles, anything else for the very power of God. Someone getting born again is the most supernatural thing. Actually, when Jesus said, "The works that I do, shall you do also?" And in the King James it says, "In greater works than these." But really, that second time the word works appears is in italics. It's in italics. It means it wasn't really in the original Greek. So what it really says is this. It says, "The works that I do, shall you do also." Well, that's the very things we've been reading here. Casting out devils, healing the sick, and all those things. "And greater than these, shall you do also." Now, I was taught that meant more in volume. That's not what it means. Although there being more of us, And over 2,000 years, yes, there probably would be more volume, but that's not what it means. Now he says, you're going to do something I never got to do in my earthly ministry. Now think about this. Jesus himself, and hit before the cross, he never got to do what Marvin got to do tonight. And that was, through his words, assist someone in going from death to life. No one ever got born again before the cross. Jesus never got to do that, and that is a greater work. That is a resurrection work. That's one thing Jesus himself in his earthly ministry never got to do. He reserved that for us.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? Well, he says, greater works. Something that I never got to do shall you do. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that something? All right. Now, again, so we've been talking about, we talked about the trap. And then we started mainly talking about, now, how do we go? I'm an engineering preacher. I used to be an engineer. How do we go from where we are, which is virtually powerless, to walking in what Jesus said here? Has he given us tools? Is there something we can do? Is there anything we can do that will take us on purpose just because we choose to use them from where we are now to there? And we found out there are several things, isn't there? One night we talked about 2 Corinthians chapter 10 where he says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, in plain English, that means you're thinking stinking.
Amen.
You're thinking stinking. You're not thinking right. Like what Zig Ziglar says, we got the stinking thinking and hardening of the attitudes. Well, and because we're going around, well, I understand that God would use Benny Hinn to do miracles and healings, but I'm a mechanic. I'm a housewife. I do laundry. I iron. Or whatever, you know. Or God wouldn't use me. Your thinking is stinking. That is not what Jesus said about you. He said this about you, and it'll never change. You have authority. I'm ironing my husband's shirts. You think God would use me? Yes.
Amen.
To cast out devils, heal the sick. Everything that he said here, speak with new tongues, make intercession, change nations.
Hallelujah.
Let the Holy Spirit pray the very authority and mind of God through you. Yes, he'll use you. But our thinking has got to change, will we? So we talked about that. One of them is confession, where you take the Word of God and you start letting it come out of your mouth like it's absolutely true. Whatever he, just like Marvin led us tonight, whatever he says about you, you just put that in the present tense and you say it. Now, you may be just like I was when I started. I'm going, just take one. I am a new creation. Well, everybody knows that straight from the Word, right? If any man be in Christ, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're a new creature. Isn't that what it says?
Amen.
Okay, now, first time I ever said that. I still remember. This was years and years ago. The first time I ever confessed it. The only reason I knew to do it was from one of Kenneth Hagin's tapes. And I said, well, I'm a new creature. And the devil immediately said, you are not. And I said, well, it says I am. Yeah, but you're not. And what does the devil use? Well, look at yourself. You just lost your temper yesterday. You're not a new creature. And I go, I guess you're right. Because I didn't know. I didn't know the weapons of my warfare. See, and the devil, all he really has is circumstantial evidence. That's why his cases always lose. It's hard to convict on circumstantial evidence unless we believe it. But now I've got a choice to make. I'm going, okay, now let's see. Wait a minute. The Word says that if I've been born again, and I know I have, I mean, Romans 10, 9 and 10, if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in my heart that he raised from the dead, I shall be saved. And I've done that. I know I did that. And here it says that if I'm in Christ, then I'm a new creature. But yet, boy, the devil, he's got a point. I sure don't seem like a new creature. I talked ugly yesterday to that person, you know. Now, right there is your warfare. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Not natural. You're going to have to choose what you're going to believe.
Amen.
Now, the Bible says, we talked last night or the night before about Jesus said, Father, separate them from the world, sanctify them, make a difference through the truth. Thy word is truth.
Amen.
Now, if you want to go, now, the devil really, see, so what you're saying is, well, Father, I have no evidence that I'm a new creature except for your word. Honey, you just stepped into faith.
Amen.
You just departed from normal Christianity. what the world calls normal Christianity when you did that. And you're saying, I'm choosing, I have no evidence for it. The devil's correct. I lost my temper yesterday. Certain, I have no evidence that I am a new creature except your word.
Amen.
But your word is true.
Amen.
So what you say, even though I have no other evidence whatsoever, I'm going to say what you say. Because you can't lie.
Amen.
I am a new creation. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You start talking like that, now you have given the Holy Spirit the same raw material that He used to create the world in the first place. When God said, let there be light, the Holy Spirit heard that spoken word and He did what was necessary. He did the ionization of the particles and whatever He had to do to make a light. Okay? But He didn't do nothing till He heard the spoken word of God. Now, you may have been a new creation. You may have been a new creation for 10 years. You may have been saved for 10 years, but you've been agreeing with your mouth with the devil. I'm a slime. I'm a dog. I'm a worm. I'm no good. I'm wretched. You've been singing them old unbelieving songs, you know. I'm so foot sore and so poorly shod, just barely making it through life, you know, all that kind of stuff, you know. Just none of that scriptural at all. And then you wonder, I wonder why I don't ever change. You're agreeing with the devil. That's not what the Word says. You're not giving the Holy Spirit what He uses to recreate with.
That's right. Amen.
You start saying this, though. Boy, you're going to enter a warfare. I'm telling you, you're going to enter it. You start going around saying, I don't care whatever the Bible says about me. That is the truth. My God can't lie. And if it says I am a new creation, I am a new creation. And the devil said, you think he's going to quit? Oh, no. He's going, I got... See, he has to nip this in the bud. Because if you keep this up and don't have any quitting sense, you keep saying what the Word says about you, the Holy Spirit, you can't tell it. It's slow, but I mean little by little by little by little, He is literally adjusting your spirit to conform to the very image of Christ.
Amen.
And eventually you will come to the place, now using all these tools, not just confession, I'm kind of majoring on that one, but everything we've talked about, meditation of the Word correctly so you're no longer deceived, but speaking the Word, praying in other tongues, letting those mysteries pass through your spirit. You start doing all that stuff. And what's happening there, the Holy Spirit is literally transforming you day by day by day and molding you into the very image of Christ. And you finally, it comes to the place, you walk as He walked. What does that mean? That means all day long you go about doing good.
Amen.
And healing all that are oppressed of the devil.
Amen.
You come on the scene and the devil goes, oh, I wonder how many of my works he's going to destroy today. Wonder how many cripples will walk, how many blind children will see. I wonder how many wheelchairs that guy's going to empty. He has to nip it in the bud. Because if you don't stop, there is no limit to what the Holy Spirit can do. Say good stuff.
Amen.
That's what we're talking about. Now, I started to say there's many things that we just don't even have time to touch on. You're in good hands. I'm not concerned. Because I was asking the Lord, now, you know, I'm only here tonight. I thought about fasting. Fasting is a tool. It's one of those tools. There's a lot you need to learn about it. But the Lord told me, He says, Marvin's going to be really in good shape to teach this. y'all think it's fresh on his mind?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So we'll just leave that one with Marvin. But it's another one of those tools. You can't substitute it. Now, fasting does not do for you what praying in tongues does. Praying in tongues nor fasting does for you what confessing the Word does. None of those things does for you what worship does. Worship is a tool.
That's right.
See? But we've been given a lot of weapons. The church, for the most part, the church at large, is ignorant. Of nearly all of it. You don't hear Christians. All right, now, Norval Hayes is one of my favorites. God's been so good to me, He let me break bread with the man. Now, he was, to me, he was like John Wayne. of the spirit when I first started. I mean, just normal hate. Man, cast out devils like you take a drink of water. And so many of the things that in my life I've learned from normal. But boy, and I lost my train of thought. He's not going to let me go there. But normal. Hallelujah. Okay. Yes, sir. All right. I'm going to have to. I'm here and get with the program. All right. So anyway, what we're going to demystify. Here's what he told me he wanted me to do tonight. And that was to help demystify for you that common phrase. How many of you ever heard a phrase called dying to self?
Yeah.
Dying to self. All right. We're going to demystify that tonight. That is a Bible principle. It is something that has to be done. But most people, you don't know how to do it in the first place. Maybe you've tried to do it, gave up on it. It's a very mystical thing. God never intended for it to be mystical, and he flat told us how to do it. You ready? Hallelujah. Now go to Galatians 2:20. We'll jump off from there. Paul he went quite a ways down this path of dying to self. And really our goal is to arrive at the same place he did at Galatians 2:20. Boy, wouldn't you look. Now, you can confess this now because it is truth. You can go ahead and start confessing it. See, first there's always seeing the land. Do you understand this? See, God says, lift up thine eyes. I have given you the land. And they didn't possess really at that moment one square inch of it. Now that's what God calls a positional truth. I have given you the land. And you're going, but I don't look like it. Now, confession is one of the major tools for you to possess the land. You start saying, you did? All right, I agree with you. I'm saying it. And I'm saying it. And I'm saying it. And you start literally possessing the land. Okay, like, I'm a new creature. You start saying it like that, the Holy Spirit, you start getting supernatural help to start walking more like a new creature from heaven. All right, now. So you can start confessing this now, but what we want to arrive at is where we're walking in this. Now look what Paul says in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, does that sound like he's dead?
Amen.
Crucifixion, the point is to kill you. They didn't hang you on that cross to hurt you, you know. They put you up there to die. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Okay. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Well, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. God, is that not a verse? Now, Paul has been so molded into the image of Christ, he's having trouble himself distinguishing Paul from Christ in him. Let me read it to you again. Let me change the inflection just a little bit. He said, I'm dead. I'm crucified with Christ. Well, nevertheless, I live. Well, yet not. It's really not me anymore. But anyway, this life that I'm living now in the flesh, I'm really living by the faith of the Son of God. It's not even my faith anymore. It's His faith. Him who loved me gave Himself for me. Paul's having trouble. He's so, at this point in his life, he's so been so transformed into that image. He's trying to say, well, I'm dead. I'm alive, but it's not really me. But it is, but it's Christ in me. But can you see what's going on? And he says, the end result, I can tell you that. It's the faith of God in me. I'm living by that faith. I'm not even living by my own faith anymore. I'm living by His.
Lord.
Oh, hallelujah. You want to go there?
Amen.
Hallelujah. For additional tapes by Gary. I love to do that. I just love it. And I want to read you one of those, to me, one of the scariest. Turn there. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4, I believe it is. This, to me, scared my britches off. I mean, this passage here. On the one hand, I desire the fruit of it. But then the second part of it scared me half to death. I'll just be honest with you. I'm going, what in the world is going on here? And actually, yeah, we're going to start at the last verse in chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, because I want you to understand the process of what Paul is talking about. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, and that just means a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. That means it doesn't happen overnight. It's in stages. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Let's put it in plain English. He's saying there's a way where you can actually, step by step, be changed to where if you looked in a mirror, you couldn't tell any difference between you and Jesus Christ Himself. Isn't that what He said? Now let's read it again so you don't think I'm making this up. We all, with open face, beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. See, now most of us right now, if we saw that, and we looked at us, and we looked at Him, and we'd be going, ain't nothing alike. I've seen the Lord, Marvin, you ain't Him. You know? Or, of course, that's really what most of us, you know, we judge in others. But let's say that you start looking at yourself. You look in the mirror, you look at yourself, big difference. But look what this says. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. Now see, He's never going to change. You remember Hebrews? Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He's never going to change. So guess who's going to do the change? And it has something to do with this beholding Him as we see Him in a mirror. We are changed into that very same image. What? Do you understand what Paul's saying?
Amen.
Transformed to walk like Him, think like Him, be anointed like Him. The same image from glory to glory. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, I know in the King James it's got a capital S indicating that's the Holy Spirit. You got to understand in the Greek language, the word is pneuma. And unless the word hagios comes before that, you don't know whether he's talking about the Holy Spirit or your reborn human spirit that you got when you, like the girl got, Candace got tonight when she got born again. She got a new born again human spirit. Now why? Remember we've talked about that when you get born again, that's the seed. That's the seed of the life of Christ that comes into you. What he's really talking about, there is a way where that life and that nature of Christ, it's got the image of Christ in it. It looks like a seed of corn has got the image of a full stalk of corn with several ears in that little bitty seed, right? The image is in there. Well, Christ is in that seed in every one of us when you got born again. The full image is there. It's a matter of bringing that all the way to harvest, where now it's not just a seed. But we're walking around bearing fruit. The very life of Christ, isn't that? Can you see that? All right? And what he's saying here, when he says there's a way to do this and be changed into that same image from glory to glory, well, how? Well, it's by that Spirit you got when you got born again. That's why God put that seed in you. The image of Christ is in it.
Amen.
If you expose it to the source, the original, where you can see the original, that Spirit in you, if you ever get it looking at Jesus, that is just like you put a natural seed in the soil from which all seeds came. Don't they start drawing the nutrients out of that soil to bring life to the image? Same thing he's saying here. And the more you see of Jesus, as the Holy Spirit unveils Jesus to you, and your spirit sees that, that's what that Spirit's in you for, is to grow up and literally change you into that same image. That's what that new nature's in there for. Good stuff.
Amen.
You do know we could preach on that verse for about 3 weeks. There's so much there. Let's keep going though. Because I want you to understand that's Mark 16, isn't it? Man, if we were walking like he walked, wouldn't we be doing everything in Mark 16?
Yes,
all right, now let's keep going though. Now see, whenever you find the word therefore, you need to know what it's there for. The word therefore, he's saying, based on what I have just said, that's why I elaborated on it, so you'll know what he just said. Now, based on that possibility, it is possible for you to go all the way to that image. Therefore, because of that, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. And boy, this is my testimony. I confess this about me all the time, so I'll stay this way. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty.
not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. I want that written on my tombstone. He may not have been the best preacher, but he was an archer. That's what I want. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. Do you know that's exactly how I see myself? I have not come here to be served. I have come to serve you. I am his servant. I'm his bond slave by choice, and I don't do it for money either. Now, you may hear a lot of preachers say that. You follow me around, you find it's the truth. I do what he tells me, period. If I live, I live. If I die, I die. My life belongs to him. Do with me what he wants. Okay, now watch. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our what?
Heart.
Isn't that your new spirit? He shined in there, brought life to that old dead Adamic spirit you had. He shined in there to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Everyone stretch your arm out like this and pat it. Now, that's your earthen vessel. But on the inside, somewhere inside this thing, you've got this spirit that is treasure. It is the life of Christ. Now, it came into you in seed form. I don't know how much you've nurtured it over the years. I don't know what. You may be a blade just sticking up out of the ear, out of the ground right now. You may be a stalk with the beginnings of fruit beginning to develop. But you're in some stage of growth. Okay, now what? We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. What does that mean? You can't save yourself. If God didn't do a miracle in Candace, she's going to hell. And if he didn't do a miracle in you, so are you.
Right.
You must be born again. Say, well, I couldn't make myself be born the first time. That was my mom and daddy's idea. I had nothing to do with it. I'm glad you know that. You can't make yourself be born again the second time.
That's right.
All you can do is cast yourself on his mercy and what he did for you. Now, the promise is, any man that comes to me, anyone that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. You're okay, Candace, you came. He sure didn't cast you out. He's going, oh, come to me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The power's of God, not of us. It's the same thing when you lay your hands on the sick and they recover. Don't you ever start thinking it's you. It's that life of Christ that he gave you free by grace when you got born again.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. We are troubled on every side. Now, Paul's talking about himself and the apostles here. And Marvin. And you. Now, really, right here, he's talking about the apostles. These are guys that have developed it. So we're going to look at them and learn some things. One thing about Paul, he raised the dead more than once. He was the guy that when the viper bit him, he just shook it off into the fire and didn't die. So he walked through some of this, wouldn't you say?
I'd say.
All right. This one guy, one time, Paul was trying to witness to the ruler of that island, and this sorcerer-type guy kept opposing him. He said, okay, you're blind for one. And he was. I'd say he walked in some power, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Okay. And then later on he says, okay, you can see now. Hallelujah.
So,
now he says, we, talking about himself and the other apostles, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Now, here's the two verses. We did all that to get to these. Are you ready? Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why? Why do you do that, Paul? Now, see if this isn't what you want. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body.
Amen.
Ooh, now think what he just said. He said a whole mouthful. Hold that again there, your honor. We said a while ago, that's your earthen vessel, right? You got a treasure in there. He says, if you learn how to do this, he says, the very life of Jesus can be made manifest. That means tangible in your mortal body. Isn't that something?
Amen.
Just to drive the nail all the way home. Look how he says it in the next verse. For we which live are always. Now, if your King James Version says has an S on it and says always, it's wrong. We which live are always, and that means all the way, delivered unto death for Jesus' sake.
Amen.
Why? Why, Paul? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal body. Now, when we get there, Joey comes out of the chair. Do you understand?
Amen.
In our mortal body, in our, and he even used flesh, so you couldn't spiritualize it. Oh, that just means the body, the local assembly. No, it means your mortal flesh.
That's right.
That earth suit you're wearing. Well, you're an alien from another world. That thing you're wearing, just an earth suit. You won't need it in heaven. When you go to heaven, he's going to, it says, at the sound of the trump, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. We're going to get suits suitable for that realm.
That's right.
You've got to have one for this world. It's to house your alien spirit.
Amen.
From another world. Isn't that good stuff?
That is good.
Hallelujah. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. Now let's think about this for a minute. Is that, would you call that dying to self?
Amen.
Man, I read that and I'm going, oh man, it just makes me want to go to my knees. I'm going, oh my God, I am not like that, Paul. I know me, I am not like that. How did you get that way? I mean, Paul was a guy who went around killing Christians in the beginning, you understand? And here he winds up a guy like this. I'm going, Paul, how do I get that way? Now, before we even get into that, I want to show you one more. Back up in the same book, to chapter 1. I'm going to show you how real this is. He's not just preaching. He's telling the truth about himself. And those, and all of them that traveled. See, in that day, in this day, in America anyway, the call to be a preacher... Oh, God, I don't even know if I want to go. For most, you know, it's fancy suites and fancy cars and the finest donkeys in the land are hitched out front in service. And you know what I'm talking about? Now, in that day, normally the call to ministry meant your life. Most likely, you're going to lose your life for Jesus' sake. You're going to spill your blood somewhere and die for Him and rejoice when you did it. Let me show you an example. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll just start in verse 8. For we would not, brethren, had you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. You think they had some trouble? Do y'all remember that one time in Lystra? They stoned Paul and drug him outside the city and left him for dead. That doesn't literally tell us whether he died or not, but those guys were convinced he was dead. Said they left him for dead. And the others, once those guys left, they came and they formed a circle around Paul and joined hands, and I'm sure they started praying in other tongues. And the Lord raised him up. And you know what Paul's attitude was? I didn't get through with my message. Come on, boys, we're going back into town. I got to finish my sermon. Now, that's what he's talking about. Look at this. We don't want you ignorant of the trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. We thought we were going to die. Now, I want to read this next verse, and I'm going to explain it some in the Greek, because the Greek gives us a little bit more here. But it says, verse 9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Now stop right there. We're soldiers out on the front line. This is war. And I mean, it's getting so bad, it looks to us like we're going to die. We better send a prayer to our commander-in-chief. It's just exactly like soldiers out on the front line. It looks like the enemy's winning. Then you send a message, you know, a radio signal or something back to headquarters. What should we do? Should we stand? If it looks like if we stay here, we're going to die. Should we retreat? Should we come back another day and fight? What? We're asking. You're sending a request to your superior in command, and you're asking for an answer. Okay, in the margin of my Bible where it says, we had the sentence, an alternate rendering is answer. Here's the answer we received from headquarters. We had the answer of death in ourselves. Basically, headquarters says, stay. I didn't send you there to run. But we're going to die. I know. Why? Why would you say that? Well, the last half of this verse, if it doesn't tear your heart out, I don't know what to think about you. We had the answer of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. These guys didn't make a decision. When Jesus would say, I want you to go to such and such a town and preach my gospel. Now, they might have known that town, and they may have known that if they went there, the odds were good, they might be stoned to death. But they didn't make the decision right then, okay, I'll obey that. No, they had made that decision years before. They didn't have to question that every time. Should I stay? Should I go? Should I die? They'd already given their lives to Him. They've already died. They're going. I don't have to make that decision. I made that decision with you a long time ago, Lord. You just tell me where to go and I'm going. If I live, I live. If I live, I will live unto you. If I die, I die unto you. But you are my Lord. My tithe doesn't belong to you. My life belongs to you.
Amen.
Oh, give me a heart like that.
Good Jesus.
Give me a heart like that.
Amen.
And He has. We're going to talk about how to get there. We had the sentence of death in ourselves. We asked headquarters, what should we do? Stay and die. If that's what it comes to, stay and die. You'll learn. You'll learn not to trust in yourself, but in God who raised the dead. Who delivered us. Now what he'd gotten at, in this case, God delivered him. Who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver. In whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. And you also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks be given by me on our behalf. Whenever the Lord wakes you up in the night season, you believers, you may wake up at 2 in the morning and for some reason, my ugly mug is on your face, you know, just sitting in front of your face. I mean, for some reason you're thinking of Gary. Pray.
Amen.
Pray. Do you hear what Paul's saying? You help me. You never know what's going on. You never know where the Lord may have us. You may never know what's going on. And boy, if you wake up in the middle of the night, look what He says. Look, you helped us. You helped us. You assisted God. How? By prayer for us. Don't you ever think your prayers don't mean anything. Boy, when the Lord wake you up in the middle of the night, I could tell you a story. I don't want to get into many of them. Just one that I remember offhand, this lady in England woke up in the middle of the night. And she was seeing like a vision. She, a missionary friend that she knew was in Africa. And all she really knew, she saw him like he was dying. He was like sick and dying or something. She didn't know. She just started praying in other tongues. She didn't know what was going on. She didn't know. Started praying in other tongues, you know. It went on for about 2 hours and then she felt a release. I mean, you know, God didn't appear or tell her nothing, but it was like that burden lifted. She went on back to sleep. Months later, she was at a meeting, and there was that guy. He's an evangelist from Africa. Come to find out, when he started giving his testimony, he told about how he had contracted a fatal disease, malaria or something. And nothing was working, and he was dying. Literally dying. And he says, I don't know what happened, but suddenly, it left. And I rose up whole and healed, and I've been going strong ever since. They got to comparing notes, and you already know, don't you? The same 2 hours before he rose up, taking into account time zones and everything, 2 hours before he rose up was when she hit her knees praying in other tongues. Don't you ever think your prayers are not important. You helped us, Paul said. We were despairing of life. He delivered us, and you helped by your prayers.
Glory to God.
Now, still, I want to get to this part about that. How many of you, for me, give me this kind of heart or just take me down, Jesus? That's the only way.
Drop the microphone. That's the only way I want to live. I do not want to live a safe Christian life. Do you understand me? I want a life of adventure.
Amen.
I want a life of serving Jesus Christ. I want to walk like He walked. I want to walk like I'm a being from another world in this world. Don't you, Maurice? I know you do. I want to walk that way. I want a heart that's fearless, trusting in Him who raises the dead. I've got a friend who literally died for 4 hours, was clinically dead, brain dead, for 4 hours. If you saw him today, you'd never believe it, but it's true. He's got all the medical records. Now, the Lord, and I can't go into a whole lot of that one either, but the end result is this. Still to this day, sometimes the devil will attack him again with symptoms, heart palpitations and things like that. But he has learned to trust in the Lord who raises the dead. And you know what his prayer is when he gets attacked like that? Like maybe he's right before bed and he's laying down and his heart will just start acting like it did right before he died the other time. And he'll pray and do what he knows to do, you know. But here's his attitude. Lord, if I live, I live unto you. If I die, I die unto you. Lord, you're my healer. I'll either see you in the morning or I'll see you in a few minutes.
Glory.
Oh, now that's peace.
Amen.
That's trusting in Him who raises the dead. See, that kind of happened with me. I had an incident in 1994, which sure can't go into much of that. I think had it not been for the grace of God, I'd have died right there. I should have died. From that day to this, in my opinion anyway, I'm already living on borrowed time. Whatever time I have now, why would I use it for anything but serving Him? But go to Guthrie. Preach the gospel. But there may be people that don't like me in Guthrie. They might like me, they may not like me. That kind of thinking. Only thing I have to know is, Lord, you want me to go. That's all I need to know. You want me to go where I'm going. Drive my own car, walk, it doesn't matter. Just whatever He says, isn't that right? Now, how did you get that way? All right? We're going to demystify dying to self. Now, first of all, let's take a couple of... Be turning to Romans 12. Y'all getting anything out of this?
Amen.
Romans 12. Now, before I even read those verses, let's talk about that statement of Paul's. I am crucified with Christ. Step number one. You cannot crucify yourself.
That's right.
Now just think about it in the natural. You build yourself. Who was it built the pulpit? Barry? All right, now Barry's a good word worker, right? You say, Barry, I decided I'm going to crucify myself. You're a wood worker. I want you to build me a cross. Barry goes, this is the dumbest idea I ever thought of, but I'll build you one if you want one. So he builds a cross. Brings it over to your house. Thank you, Barry. And how much you pay him, you know, you leave. All right, I want to crucify myself. So first thing you do is you lay that cross down on the ground, and you're looking at a picture of Jesus on the cross, and I'm going to need 3 stakes. You know, I need a sledgehammer of some kind to drive these stakes. So you go and you get those things. You lay yourself down on the cross. I'm going to have to back up from this a little. I hope you can still hear it. You lay your left hand down on the cross. Let's see. First off, you'd put your feet together, wouldn't you? And you'd kind of sit up, and you'd take that hammer and those spike, and you'd drive it through your own feet. You're going to crucify yourself, are you not? I mean, you're trying. So you do that, you can do that, right? All right, now you take your left hand, you extend it out. Now, that's going to be hard in the first place, trying to hold that spike there. I guess you could do it, hold it with your left hand, and hit it with your right hand. Now you've got your feet, and you've got your left hand crucified. Now, honey...
How are you going to do the right one? How are you going to do that? You can't do it yourself. You're going to have help if you're going to be crucified. Isn't that true? Huh? Now, don't call your friend. Let the Holy Spirit do it. Because that's what He's here for, is to crucify that thing. Okay? But you can't do it yourself. Now, here's another. I want to read you another example here out of the Word. Starting in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Now, we're going to come back to this. Remember what I told you about the word therefore? Now, I beseech you, what's that next word? Based on something I have already said, and based on the things I've already taught you in this letter, because of those things, now, brethren, I am beseeching you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Now, isn't that what we've been talking about? We're aliens from another world, aren't we? We don't want to be powerless Christians like we see all over the world right now. We want to operate like we really are aliens from another world. Operate in power. So don't be like the world. Okay, well, how do I not? But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. Remember those strongholds? Remember, he's talking about the same thing. That be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good. Well, get saved and go to heaven is His goodwill. Acceptable. Do something for God while you're alive. And perfect. And that's where you walk as He walked. Perfect will of God. How'd you like to walk there? Now let's take this picture. Again, Paul is drawing a visual picture. Go back to that chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now here's the picture he's painting from the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the most common sacrifice was a lamb. And it was a spotless lamb. And you'd pick the best one you had that had no blemishes. You'd go out and get that lamb. You'd put a rope around its neck, wouldn't you? And you'd, now it doesn't know where you're taking it. It doesn't know you're taking it to the altar. And that the priest is going to be there with a sacrificial knife. He doesn't know. That lamb is dumb. And it doesn't know that it's headed for the altar. You may have been, this may be your pet. You may have been talking to this lamb and it'll follow you, but you just put a little loop around its, you know, a little rope around its neck and you're leading it to the altar. Now, it doesn't know where it's going, does it? So it's just trotting along behind you all dumb and happy. You know? And you get to the altar and you pick it up and you lay it on the altar. It's never seen that thing before. It still doesn't know what's happening. And then all of a sudden, the high priest, or the priest, whichever one's on duty that day, he would take that sacrificial knife, wouldn't he? And he puts that lamb to death. Now see, that is a sacrifice that was alive. But once you sacrifice it, it's dead. Now here's the difference between that lamb and us. Because really what Paul is saying here is, I want you to treat your body like that lamb. I want you to bring it and present it as a sacrifice. Can you see that?
Amen.
Now here's the problem, see? He says, yours, however, is a living sacrifice. Now that means it isn't going to die, but yet it's a sacrifice.
Glory.
Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I am crucified, yet I live a living sacrifice. Can you see what's going on? Now just so you'll know, that word therefore, everyone say after me. This point is so important. I always do it this way. Now say this after me. This is revelation knowledge. You're going to be really glad you came tonight. Now, this word therefore means based on something I've already said, right? Now say this. Say, Romans 12,
Romans 12
comes after,
after
Romans 8.
Romans 8.
Have you got that? Now you're going to find in your studies, if you really do Romans, chapters 9, 10, and 11 are almost like a parenthesis. In those three chapters, now Paul has been talking about something all the way up through Romans 8. Then he takes what we would call like a rabbit trail, and chapters 9, 10, and 11, he talks about his brethren, the Jews, and their particular dilemma. Then in Romans 12, he's picking it up again from Romans 8. Now let's go back and see what he said in Romans 8, for example. All right? Let's just look at Romans 8, 13. If we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify, that means, do y'all know what the word mortify means? Now, if you spent the night at a mortician's, and he has his work done, he does his work on you, you will wake up mortified. Isn't that right? We're talking death here. Another way we use it is the word mortar. Now, you may have some bricks or stones that are, you can move them around. But once you put them together and you put mortar between those things and it has time to set, and they ain't moving no more, are they? They're just mortified. He's talking about death. You got that? Now, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify, put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now, well, how would I do something like that? In the same chapter, remember the laws of meditation? We don't have time to do the whole chapter, but now in the same chapter, just follow right on down because he doesn't change the subject. Like verse 26, likewise the Spirit also, and that should be capital, he's talking about the Holy Ghost here. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses, our inabilities in the flesh to produce results. He helps us. How does he help us? Well, we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Keep that in mind. We'll write back to Romans 12. Look at verse 2 again. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Can you see he's still talking about the same thing?
Yes.
It's through the Spirit that you do it, not through the energy of your flesh.
That's right.
Now, the whole point of the law, like we talked one night, God gave them the law. Man was going, I'm okay. I'll serve you, God. I'm able to do that. Oh, really? Well, really, you're a mule. I'm a racehorse. No, you're a mule. I'm a racehorse. No, I'm telling you, you're a mule. There's something wrong with you. No, I'm really okay. I can run. Well, how would you ever convince a mule that he was something other than, you know, that he was not a racehorse? You'd put him in the starting gate, wouldn't you? You'd put about 10 thoroughbreds in there in this mule. You'd raise the gate and they're off. Wouldn't take you just a little bit, would it? He's looking at the behinds of all them other thoroughbreds. I'm a mule. I am a mule. He was right. That's what God did with the law. Man was saying, we're okay. We're okay. We love you. We'll serve you. Oh, really? I'm telling you, you're a sinner and you're lost and you need a Savior. No, really, we're okay. Well, okay. I can't convince you. Here. Here's the law. Keep that. Since you're such a hot rod, you're okay. Here's my perfect law. Just keep it. And they're going, right, really what they did was, okay. We'll serve it. You, whatever you tell us, we're going to do that. And for hundreds and hundreds of years, the Jewish nation proved to all the world that mankind is lost.
Yep.
We're mules. Paul, that's what Paul's talking about in Romans 7. He's going, I wanted to keep it. I wanted to serve you, God. You gave me the law and I wanted to keep it. But when I tried to do good, the thing that I didn't want to do, that's what I wound up doing. And the things that I wanted to do for you, I wound up, I wouldn't do them. When I try to do good, I find something's wrong on the inside. There's something, it's sin in me, isn't it, God? There's something wrong in my nature. That's what I've been trying to tell you. You're a mule? Now, how could you ever make a mule into a racehorse? He'd have to be born all over again, wouldn't he?
Amen.
You've got to be born a racehorse. Oh, you've got to be born again. You've got to get that new nature on the inside to even have the capacity to grow up into that image of Christ. Isn't that good stuff?
Amen.
Now, so the whole point is, we've got it, though. Everyone, you're born again in here, right?
Amen.
You've got that. Everyone say, I am born again.
I am born again.
I'm a new creature.
I'm a new creature.
I've got that seed.
I've got that seed.
That life.
That life.
In me.
In me.
I need it to grow up.
I need it to grow up.
That's what we've been talking about. You with me?
Amen.
Now, Paul's talking about that, and he's telling us here, Romans 12, a real good tool. What? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you I beseech you, therefore, based on what I told you in Romans 8, it's only through the Spirit that you're ever going to do this. Only through the Spirit that you're going to mortify and put to death the deeds of the body. They're based on that. I'm telling you, by the mercies of God, present your bodies. Now, wait a minute. If it's only the Holy... See, now, okay, now here we go. Here's my little picture. You see, you're going to become a living sacrifice. Well, now your body's the lamb, isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't that what we're talking about, putting to death here? The deeds of the body?
Yes.
Trouble is, you've been... And the end result is going to be what? Mortification?
Amen.
Death?
Absolutely.
Who did he say does it? Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He's the one with the knife. He's waiting on you to get there. Now, once he put this all together, here's what's really going on. He's saying, you want to walk more like Jesus?
Yes.
You want that new nature to rise up on the inside? You want to put to death the deeds of this body?
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, the Holy Spirit is the one that does that. He's the one with the knife. He's the one, every time you present yourself to Him, praying those things that you don't even know how to pray as you ought, you start spending those hours in your prayer closet, praying in those other tongues, praying beyond your intellect. He is stripping and cutting away, and especially if you start incorporating fasting with that, He starts putting to death all those things of the body that you've been trying to put to death for years. All of that self-love. All of that stuff. I can't go preach there, they may not like me. I can't go preach there, they may not give an offering. I can't go preach there, the Super Bowl is this Sunday. I can't do this. I love you, but it's me. I love you, but I got to serve me. I love you, but I got to... That's where all that stuff dies. But when he says a living sacrifice, you know why that? See, this sounds real good when I'm preaching it. You're in here, you're seeing it. The revelation's flowing strong. You're going, I want... Bless God, how many of you are thinking right now, I'm going to get in my prayer closet and I'm going to start turning myself over to the Holy Ghost, and surely I can pray 14 hours a day in other tongues, and you're with it, you know? Trouble is, when you get in there, after about 10 minutes, your flesh starts going, I want out.
That's right.
I hate this. You know why it hates it? It's dying there.
Yeah.
Listen, I've got a cat that weighs about 20 pounds. Don't I, Nick? His name is AC. That is the gentlest cat. We've had this cat for like 15, 16 years. He just loves people. He's like a furry bundle of love. But I, and it's gentle with little kids, can pull his ears and lift him up by the tail and you won't hurt him. But I'm telling you what, even him, you back him into a corner and make him fear for his life. Self-preservation is the best base instinct in all creatures. And if you make him think he's about to die, he'll come out fighting you. And you may be the hand that's been feeding him. But if he thinks you're going to kill him, now he'll fight even you. I mean, he's gentle. Your flesh is like that.
Right.
It hates that prayer closet because it knows it's dying there. That's what makes it a living sacrifice. It's been to that closet before. And you say, we're going to go pray for 2 hours starting at 10 o'clock tonight. And your flesh, it's not like that little lamb. It knows what's coming. And you're putting the lasso around its neck and you're going, we're going to go pray. And it's going, no, we ain't. And it's digging in its heels, you know. And how it does it is through your emotions. And it's, you know, you're going, I want to be changed. I want to be delivered all the way to this death. I want Joey out of the chair, and I want God to be able to use me like that. We're going to go pray. And your flesh is going, no, I've been there before. I'm not going. You're hungry. Let's go eat. Let's do something. See? And it's fighting you. It's a living sacrifice. It knows. It's not like that little lamb. It's fighting and resisting you. And all of your emotions are going, no. But your spirit man's going, yes. And now you entered into the war, see? You've entered into the war, but I beg of you, Paul says, I beseech you, I beg of you, because of the great mercies of God, He has already raised you from death to life. He put that seed in you, but it will never grow up unless you present your body a living sacrifice. Present yourself to that Holy Spirit. Let Him get that circumcision knife out, or it's really a sacrificial knife out, just like the priest of old. would have to come and put that lamb to death. And that's exactly what's happened to all of your mortal flesh. You spend your time in the prayer closet. Now, what really starts happening? You know who you're going to come face to face with in there? You. You're not going to like what you see. You start spending some time in there with the Spirit of Truth. And you know how you've been there. I'm not looking at anybody now. I'm just making up stuff. But all of a sudden you pray and you pray and you pray, and then, you know, your flesh is hating it. You've been looking at your watch every 2 minutes thinking, surely an hour went by, you know. I committed to 2 hours. We're going to stay in here. Surely it's been a half hour. And you look, oh my God, we've been in here 5 minutes. You know. But you stay and you keep praying. You keep presenting your body. You keep presenting yourself. You keep bringing yourself to that altar. And pretty soon, the Holy Spirit, He starts cutting away in that flesh. And suddenly you see a very greedy person. A gossiping person. A person that cares for their own interests and really doesn't care very much whether Guthrie goes to hell or not. Me and my four. No more. I'm going to heaven. See? People, prayer and fasting puts to death complacency. Because not only is He cutting away the things about you that you hate, at the same time, He is feeding the seed that you made you.
Amen.
John said it the best, John the Baptist. I must decrease. He must increase.
Amen.
Oh, that's what's going on in there. Your flesh knows it. It's going, if I keep letting you take me in there, I will die. I'll lose all control over you. I won't be your Lord anymore. The flesh knows that. It will fight you. I beg you, God. I beg you by the mercies of God. Which spike wasn't enough? Which spike wasn't enough that you would not go in there, present yourself to that priest and let him cut away everything that's not like Jesus?
Amen.
Oh, isn't that something? Isn't that something? Now, what this does, this demystifies that old thing. God gave us a way to do it.
Amen.
You can't change yourself. Taking off your earrings or putting on earrings, wearing makeup or not wearing makeup, all those things that man comes up with as, quote, holy. Holy is when you're like Jesus.
Amen.
The flesh can't produce Him.
That's right.
The flesh can't produce holiness. But that's why God gave you this very spirit born of Jesus Christ. His nature is in there. And when it grows up, that's when you fulfill the verse that says, be ye holy, for I am holy. That nature I put in you is holy.
Amen.
If you feed it and let it grow up, you don't have to try and be holy. You are holy.
Amen.
And all that other stuff becomes simple. You won't anymore try and forgive because you want your prayers answered. Even that's selfish. Well, I want my prayers answered, so I guess I forgive you. You won't be like that anymore. Listen. It's not hard to forgive when that's what you are. It's not hard to love. You don't have to try and love that ugly person. You feed the seed. You get in that closet. Let the Holy Spirit kill everything in you that's not like Jesus and bring forth His life and nature. You love because that's what you are.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And let's talk about a real good one. Sickness and health. You get in there. You won't become the. You won't long stay the sick, trying to get healed. That life and nature of Christ Himself, do you think He gets sick?
No.
I don't think so. You get enough of His nature in you where you just are healthy. And that's when you lay your hands on Him.
Amen.
That drives that sickness out.
Amen.
It's His very life, His nature, His divine health flowing into them. What do you think drives it out? You get full of it yourself. You are health, looking for some place to happen.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Now, did I do my job?
Yes.
Yes.
Did the responsibility shift from me to you?
Yes.
Do you know how to die to self?
Yes.
Don't let religion start telling you it's like throwing your TV out the window. Or changing your hemline with it. Or wearing certain clothes. Or any of that external stuff. It's got nothing to do with it. Nothing. What has everything to do with it, therefore. Therefore, you present yourself. You present yourself to this Holy Spirit that God has given you. Let Him feed that new nature that you got at the new birth. And at the same time, He'll start cutting away that ugly stuff that's not like Jesus. Progressively, 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 you will be changed into the same image. And the day will come, Guthrie will say, those that have turned the world upside down have come hither also.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Praise Him, Lord.
Hallelujah.